We're going to stay in Suffolk, but in a very different mode. In this month's Let's Talk, Lynn Bensley tells the story of a groundbreaking rock and roll gig in Ipswich in the 1960s. Here's Alison to get us rocking.
Hey, mama, won't you treat me wrong? Come and love you, daddy, all night long, all night long. Hey, hey, all right. See the girl with the diamond ring? She knows how to shake that thing, all right now.
The late DJ John Peel once proclaimed that if he ever compiled a list of the 10 best gigs of all time, Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent at the Liverpool Empire in March 1960 would be on such a list, if not occupying the top slot, then with a rebel's yell of that most coveted position. It was no idle declaration coming from the Suffolk-based broadcaster with unprejudiced musical tastes. The concert, insisted Peel, confirmed me in my lifelong love for Gene Vincent in particular, although Eddie Cochran was nearly as good. Gene looked as I dreamed of looking, completely out of control. He almost completely ignored the audience, staring wild-eyed into the wings as though demons lurked behind the Empire's plush curtains. Throughout the 1950s, Britain had been starved of live American rock and roll acts, but impresario Larry Parnes was about to change all that with his package show concept. Billed as the fast-moving Anglo-American beat show, the pairing of Vincent and Cochran was one of Parnes' most enterprising schemes. Vincent and Cochran were already firm friends, having first met on the set of the musical comedy The Girl Can't Help It in 1956. Initially conceived as a publicity vehicle for glamour girl Jane Mansfield, it was the musical segments that drew in the crowds eager to see Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps perform Bee Bopper Lula and Eddie Cochran gyrating to 20 Flight Rock. The tour kicked off at Ipswich Gaumont on Sunday, January the 24th, 1960, where the two were supported by Vince Eager and the Quiet Three, together with the Viscounts and Norfolk's own Tony Sheridan. At the time, the Musicians' Union wouldn't allow US acts to bring over their backing bands, and as a consequence, Vincent secured a talented five-piece called the Beat Boys, who would later become better known as Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames. Cochran was equally fortunate to be teamed up with Marty Wilde's own backing group, the Wildcats. "Great to be here in Ipswich," announced Eddie as he took to the stage to close the first half of the inaugural concert, before turning his back on the audience to strum the intro to his version of the Ray Charles stateside hit, "What Did I Say?" At the end of the 12-bar intro, recalled Vince Eager, he spun round to sing, "Hey Mama, don't you treat me wrong," and the place erupted. That was pure theatre. What an inspirational artist. Cochran's own material, Summertime Blues, Come On Everybody, Something Else and Weekend, featuring driving rhythms coupled with intelligent and often unusual for the time, self-deprecating lyrics. He was also an accomplished blues player and very competent guitarist who was equally capable of playing drums, bass or piano. Even if possessed with a rebellious spirit, as a sharp dresser blessed with good looks, Cochran was the complete antithesis of unpredictable, troublesome and temperamental Vincent. Both had enjoyed more chart success in the UK than in their homeland, and as the tour progressed, further dates were added, with Parnes wasting no time in supplying a support rota of his own signings, including Billy Fury, Peter Wynn, Sally Kelly, Dean Webb and Johnny Gentle, among others. In an effort to boost their own record sales and swell his personal coffers. Parnes called a 10-day break to refresh the exhausted tour members, and Vincent and especially Cochran were keen to return to the States. They booked a taxi to take them with Cochrane's girlfriend Sharon Sheely and tour manager Pat Tompkins to London after the last show on the Easter Saturday, April the 16th. Near Chippenham, shortly after midnight, they missed their turning, and while driving at speed, the driver lost control and the Ford console spun backwards and struck a lamppost. Sheely suffered a broken pelvis and Vincent sustained a broken collarbone and leg injuries. Cochrane was thrown from the car while trying to shield his girlfriend. He died of his injuries later that afternoon. Vincent never fully recovered from the loss of his confidant. Aged only 21, Cochrane had achieved so much in so short a time, and it's difficult not to presume that he was destined for greater things. From the outset, the tour had demonstrated that the generation gap was becoming something of an unbridgeable chasm. And from that opening gig in Ipswich, Vincent and Cochrane performed the last rites to skiffle while proving that rock and roll was here to stay.
Thank you, Alison.